exactly the problems that we have today. Tonight we'll be talking about the wisdom of God. People are trying to find wisdom everywhere. Everywhere. Looking for it here, looking for it there. There's only one place you'll find true wisdom. You can have the wisdom of man. It's still death. That's just the tree of good and knowledge, good and evil. There is a tree of life, though, that we can eat off of, and that's the wisdom of God. Proverbs 3:18 says that the tree of life is the wisdom of God. So we've been doing that tonight. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to come, if you can, and just partake of that with us. But I want to continue today what we began a couple of weeks ago, five prayer promises that we can pray with confidence. Five things that we can pray with confidence. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 5. We'll also look at about four more passages. And then we'll quit after we've ministered to some people. 1 John chapter 5, and again at verse 13, Apostle John writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God? His name is Jesus. Who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's written this to you. And he says, in order that, this is why I've written it, that you may know that you have eternal life. The Bible wants us to know, never doubt, but always know that we have eternal life. He doesn't want us wondering about it. He says, the reason that I wrote this book is so that you can know that you have eternal life. And then the next thing that he starts talking about after he says that is prayer. And then in verse 14 he says, "And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him." He says, "I want you to know that you have eternal life," and then he goes right into prayer. And the point that I want to make here is I really believe that if the Spirit of the living God dwells in you, that there is a desire in you to pray. I really believe that. Because if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then there's something in you that's given you an unction to want to commune and talk to Father. Am I right? And something drives and wants you to pray. And that's the Spirit of God that dwells in you and lives in you. And there's two kinds of prayer. There's individual prayer and there's corporate prayer. And we saw that last time that here in this particular passage in verses 14 and verse 15, seven times the word "we" is used and two times the word "us" is used. And what he's talking about here is not your individual prayer life. What he's talking about here is our corporate times of coming together and praying. If we ask anything according to his will, we can have the confidence that he hears us and that we can receive the desire for which we asked of him. Am I right now? My Bible. It's a we thing, folks. If one can put 1,000 to flight, talk to me. Two can put 10,000 to flight. If two or three of you agree together as touching anything that you ask, he says, "I will do it." Folks, there is a power in the we. On Wednesday night, we're coming together and we're praying. And I want to tell you, things are happening. And that's really where this is coming out of. These five things are coming out of our times of prayer back there. I told you last time that the first thing that we have to understand is that we can pray for salvation. We were back there that Wednesday night I had stood up and I had said, we're seeing a lot of healings and we're seeing some manifestations of our and answers of our prayers in certain ways. But we really need to see some salvations in our church, and we really need to start praying for some salvations. And I didn't know Mark was there. I knew he was there. I didn't know what he was there for. Well, Pastor Tebow had come in and went by Mark and stopped and talked to him. So as soon as I said that, I handed the microphone to Pastor Tebow, and Pastor Tebow stood up and said, "Mark, come up here." Not this Mark. Where you at, Mark? You're here. There he is. And he said, Mark came up, and Pastor Tebow says, "Mark, why'd you come here today?" He said, "I got to get saved." He said, "I got to get my life straightened out." He was crying. Folks, I want you to understand that when we start praying for people to get saved, God will save them. John chapter 6, verse 37 says that whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. A man or woman that cries out to God, he will not cast him out. We can have that confidence, knowing that when we pray for people, God's hearing us pray for people, praying for their salvation. Peter says it's not his will that any should perish, but how many? All should come to repentance. But the scripture that I really want, I hit on when I was ministering this, and I'm not going to stay on this very long, but when I really saw this, is that Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, first of all then, brethren, first of all, he says, I would that you pray with prayers and petitions and thanksgiving for all men everywhere. And then in verse 4, he says, so that all can come to the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants people to get saved. And then we talked about household salvation. I told you last time that God not only wants you to be saved, but he wants your household to be saved. We talked about Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I think it was verse 19, and it says that you choose. He sets before us life and death, blessings and cursings. And he says, you choose for you and your descendants, your family, your household. And I gave you the illustration of my family and my household. Well, lo and behold, the next Wednesday, here comes Mark in with his whole household. He had already prayed with Renee, his wife, and they got their kids there today. I want you to know this stuff really works when we get together and pray. Now, let me tell you what happens. See, every demon in hell and every force, every spirit wants to keep you from praying. How many knows that's right now? That's right. Either individually or corporately. They try to do everything to keep you. You're too busy. You don't feel good. Something's always going on. Every demon in hell will keep you from praying because there's a power in corporate prayer. When they got together in the upper room in Acts chapter 4 and prayed, the place was shaking. Things shake, folks, when we get together and pray. We start putting demons to flight, and they got to run. They got to flee. There's a power in corporate prayer. There's a power in corporate prayer that there is in no other way. And you know that it's true because you want to come. The spirit man inside of you wants to come on Wednesday and go and join together in corporate prayer and pray for these things. But what you war with is the flesh. And you war with the soul. And that's what you're really warring with. But that how many knows I'm really telling you the truth now? You really would like to come, but there's always something coming up. Or it just happens that on Wednesday, you're tired than you've ever been, and you just can't come. How many is honest enough to say that's probably what happens to me? Yeah. See? And that's the enemy. If you can identify that rascal, and you can resist him, you know what the Bible says he will do? He'll flee. And then you'll get in the habit of coming. You'll have a good time. Roger Grimm says, man, that's the best time. He says, if you don't come on Wednesday night, you're just missing the best time of all of it. There's something happening, folks. I'm just telling you, there's something happening. What I want to minister to us today is about healing. I want you to know that God's given us a promise in the Bible for healing. And I want to show that to us today. And then I want to minister to you at the end of the service for healing, not just in your physical area, but also in your spirit and also in your soul. I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, very, very familiar passage. But I want to get into it just a little bit and show you some things that I've seen in Isaiah, chapter 53. God has promised that we can be healed. We can have confidence when we pray for healing. In Isaiah 53, I want to start at verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who is that talking about? That's talking about the Lord Jesus. Then verse 5. For he was pierced or wounded through for our transgressions. He was crushed or bruised for our iniquities. How many realize that he did everything that was necessary to free you from sin? Transgressions is the outworking of sin. That's the fruit of sin. How many knows that He can deal with the fruit of your sin? The transgressions. You've trespassed. You've transgressed into an area that you shouldn't have gone. You knew you shouldn't have gone, but you went there anyway. But the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient enough to forgive you for doing it. And iniquities is the root of the fruit. It's one thing to deal with a man or a woman who's in an adulterous relationship, to deal with the situation and the relationship itself. But it's a totally another thing to deal with the iniquity that's in that man or in that woman, to get it out of him so that he never wants to have an adulterous relationship again. He did both. He done the fruit and He did the root. John the Baptist says that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, for the axe is laid to the root of the tree. It's one thing to deal with an adulterous relationship. It's another thing to deal with the root that causes the adulterous relationship. It's one thing to deal with the fruits of a bad marriage. It's another thing to fix the marriage, to get that root out of there that causes that bitterness, that bad time in that marriage. Jesus did that. How many know that He really did that? Then He says, He took care of our transgressions and our iniquities. Then it says, the chastisement or the chastening for our well-being or our peace fell upon Him. Everything that was required of God for me to have peace, Jesus took them by His chastening. By the chastenings that He took in His physical body, He took all that was required of God for me to have peace. How many want peace? You can have it. Because Jesus Christ bore the price. He paid whatever price Father put on that so that you can have peace and I can have peace. Jesus was chastened. He was disciplined. He paid the price so that we can have a peace eternal. When we're not in peace and we're walking out of the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, we have peace. He paid the price. And here's what I want us to see. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastened. And then it says this, and by His stripes or by His scourging, we are healed. Everybody say that. We are healed. We are healed. One more time. We
are healed.
Now let me tell you what I just said. The outworkings of the piercing. The outworkings of the scourging. The outworkings of all that happened in His crucifixion that we saw dramatically portrayed to us this past week, the outworkings of that was so that you and I can be healed. I want you to hear this. Yeah, your sins are forgiven. Somebody said something to me the other day, and I would tell you he's here, and I don't want to, because I don't want you to think he's strange. I'd rather you think that I'm strange. But it was such a truth. And I'm going to say it. Sin is not the issue. Now, wait just a minute. You got to hear this right. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace is upon Him. But sin is not the issue. The issue is your healing. You're looking at me awfully funny now. But how many knows it's a glorious thing to go to heaven? I really do. If I go before the Lord comes again, I really do want to go to heaven. I really do. But that's not the issue. The issue is that I'm healed in my spirit, I'm healed in my soul, and I'm healed in my body. Because if I'm healed in my spirit, healed in my soul, and healed in my body, my sins have been dealt with. Am I all right now? Am I still on firm ground here? You know, some of you thought I was getting out here in the quagmire, and I was getting messed up. I want you to understand, folks, sin's not the issue. The blood of Jesus Christ took care of the sins. He took care of the transgressions and He took care of the iniquities. And He took all the punishment that was required for you and me to be healed. It was all done so that we can be healed. And it's not just physical healing. It's total healing. The word healed there in the Hebrew, I got it here somewhere. I do. I know I do. The word healed is rapha. Now, you don't care about that, but I want to tell you what it means. It means to mend by stitching. That is to cure. How many of you are glad that whatever rips and tears have come in your life, in your body, in your spirit, in your soul, in your thinking, in your finances, in your marriage, whatever's happened, anywhere that you need healing in, that the blood of Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross, it takes care of it, and it heals it, and it stitches it, and it heals and it cures it. Wherever you need healing. Jesus, that's what it's about, is the healing of our spirit, the healing of our soul, and the healing of our body. And the definition goes on. This is the way it's translated. Cure, cause to heal. It's physician. Aren't you glad that He's the great physician? And here's what I want. Repair. Do you know that anything that's messed up in your life, He can repair it? Also, thoroughly. He don't just do a part job. He can do a thorough job of whatever that it is that you need restored and repaired in your life. And also, it means to make whole. Whole. W-H-O-L-E. Entire. All of it. He can make you whole in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. The outworkings of His bruising, of His piercing, of His chastisement was so that you and I can be healed. Totally. In our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. Please see that. Somewhere along the way, you're going to say, God, I need healing. Most of us today, if we were honest, would say, I need healing somewhere in my life. My marriage, my finances, my workplace, my body. What I'm telling you today is all that Jesus did, He did so that you and I can be healed. I want you to look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are tripartite beings. In other words, we have three parts. To us, the most important part is our body. Probably to the Lord God, that would be the least important part. Not that it's not important, but that it's not as important as the other realms and the other areas of your being. You are a tripartite being. I am a tripartite being. I have three parts to me. I have a spirit, I have a soul, and I have a body. Those three things put together make up Delbert Young. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Those three things put together make you up. You take one of those away, you are a totally different thing. The body without the spirit is dead. Take away your body from your spirit and from your soul, you're not the same. You need all three of those parts. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I want to talk about this just a little bit. Paul writes here, now may the God of peace, I want everybody to say the God of peace. God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. The King James Bible says holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. All of you. Entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, how many parts do you have? Three. What are they? Spirit, soul, body. And I believe He puts them here in His realm of importance. I believe the first thing that He wants to deal with you and with me is the spirit. Then He wants to deal with the soul. And then He wants to deal with the body. We would go the other way around. But I really believe that once the spirit is taken care of, then the soul can be taken care of, and then all that works out into the body. Sickness today, so much of it, in the physical realm, is psychosomatic. The word, the Greek word for the spirit is pneuma. It's the breath. It's the wind. Without that, without breath, without wind, we're nothing. We're dead. The word for the mind, for the soul realm, is psyche. Psyche, like psychiatrist. They deal with the mind, with the thinking. And then the word for the body is soma. When somebody says that your illness is psychosomatic, then what would they be saying? That because of your thinking, your body is sick. Psychosoma. And much of the illnesses today are psychosomatic. You think you're sick, so you get sick. What Jesus came to do is to heal your psyche, your soma, and your pneuma. All of you. And He wants to preserve and present you blameless. Now, what does that mean? Well, he doesn't want you blaming your spirit. He doesn't want you blaming your soul. He doesn't want you blaming your body for not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're not faithful to the things of God, we're not faithful to the house and the body of Christ, when we're not faithful, we're going to blame our spirit, our soul, or our body. Now listen to me, don't get mad. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, in my spirit, I just don't feel right there. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, you just blame your spirit for not being faithful to the body of Christ. And it's not that they don't feel right here. They don't feel right anywhere because they don't go anywhere. And they're blaming their spirit. Well, on Judgment Day, they're going to have to explain why they felt like that in their spirit. Or soma. No, let's go psyche next. Soul. Spirit, soul. A lot of people blame their souls. I don't think I'm going to go today. I don't think I'm going to go. What have you just blamed for not going? Your mind, your soul. I don't think. And then there's those that blame the body. I don't feel good today. And you know I'm telling you the truth. I don't want you to get mad at me, but this is the truth. When we're not faithful to the body of Christ somewhere, we're going to blame our spirit, our soul, or our body. Am I right? There's always a reason that we can come up with. Paul says, I don't want you to blame nothing. I want to present you whole, spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus wants to fix us so that our spirit will love being there, our body will feel like being there, and our mind will want to go there. He wants to preserve us holy and bring us into Him. I mean, I really believe that church is important. And what He came to do was heal us. I really believe that in our ministry, that if you sit here in this place and allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to you, you will change how you think about a lot of things. I really believe that this ministry ministers to that entity of the man more than any other entity that we minister to, the soul realm, your thinking. I believe it's important. I really, really do. But you know what? No matter what a person blames it on, whether they blame it on the spirit or on the soul or on the body, you know what I've learned? I can't change them. I've tried. I used to say, well, if I preach better messages, somebody would say, well, if you preach shorter messages, that's not it. Better messages aren't it. Well, if you said it this way, I had one guy to tell me, well, maybe if you weren't here. Let's see, that's not it. You see, what Paul says is that he wants is the God of peace to present you holy, spirit, soul, and body. I can't save you and heal your soul. I can't heal your spirit. I can't heal your body. The God of peace can. And I have learned that I don't care how short or how long I preach, whether I'm here or whether I'm not, that it's not until the God of peace deals with a person that they'll really come in and start presenting themselves blameless. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. This is a passage I about wore our congregation out with for a little while. We have a lot of folks that haven't heard me say what I'm going to say right now. So those of you who have, forgive me. And let me say this. We are under the delusion that once our spirit is saved, or changed, or fixed or healed or repaired, whatever God does to it, I just leave it like that, that then it's okay and that it never again needs any attention. I want to tell you today that that's not true. That's not entirely true at all. I want you to see in your Bible today that your spirit can be defiled. Paul here in 2 Corinthians is talking to one of the most charismatic churches of that day. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. They were behind in no gift. They were a first century church. And above all that, they had the teachings of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Apollos. They had the people that followed no man because they was of Christ. They had this group and this force upon their lives. But yet Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, that they needed to get their spirits cleaned up. They were born again. But their spirits had become defiled because of different reasons. And he starts off and he starts talking about because of the precious promises, because of the promises, therefore, brethren, the promises that he's talking about is just prior to that in chapter 6, where he's talking about that God now dwells in us. God dwells in you and he dwells in me. He dwells in people. His spirit now lives in you and his spirit lives in me. That's the very breath of our life, is the spirit of God in us. And because of that, then he says you need to stay clean in your spirit. Now let's read it and see if I've told you the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Paul's including himself here. It's interesting that in Romans chapter 7, he says, O wretched man that I am. Not that I was, but that I am. That's just the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It continuously cleanses us. He says, cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and what? Flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The way we perfect holiness in the fear of God is by constantly making sure our spirit man is clean, that our spirit is cleaned continuously. Now, I was talking to an individual one time, and he was talking about that the spirit was okay, and I said, oh no, I said, that's not what the Bible teaches. And I turned him to this passage, and I showed it to him, and he says, well, I see that, but I don't receive that. Well, it really doesn't matter. How many knows it really doesn't matter whether he received it or not? It is the Word of God, and it is truth. And once we understand this, then we'll understand better how to present ourselves in true holiness. We understand that our spirit can be defiled. Now, let me show you how this happens. How many knows, let's talk about the body for a second, then I'll talk about the soul, and then I'll show us how the spirit can be defiled. How many knows that if you eat a rotten piece of meat, you put that into your body, is it going to defile your body? And it don't take long, does it? It won't be long. It'll be coming back out because it has defiled you. And your body will be rejecting it. It has defiled you. Individuals that put things in excess into their bodies defile their bodies. Drugs defile the body. Too much alcohol. How many be honest enough to say you've had too much alcohol and it defiles your body? Nobody's... Okay, Mark's honest. Okay. I've got my hand up there. Yes. Uh-huh. I see another hand. I tell you, it'll make you defiled. It'll defile your body. Put too much at the thing. Nicotine. And I'm not preaching against cigarettes. You know I'm not. I'm not preaching against alcohol. You know I'm not. I'm just telling you that in excess will defile the body, and the body has a reaction to it. How about your mind? If you put wrong things into your mind, into your soul, will it defile your soul? You put pornography into your mind, what will it do? Will it defile your mind? If you put excess spending, you see things and you want them, you go buy them, you charge them, and you've exceeded your spending limits. Have you defiled your thinking? Is that going to affect you? How about lust? Will lust, you look at something and you want it, will lust defile you? Will mammon defile you? Things, wanting the things, will desire of success, all these are soul things. And you wanting these things, and if they get into you, they will defile you. How about the spirit now? Well, that's what we put into our spirit. We see that it's what we put into our body, we put into our soul. And so the way our spirits will be defiled is by what we put into our spirits. How do we put things into our spirit? The first thing you have, I'm going to give you three things. One is, what are you giving yourself to? If you give yourself to the Holy Ghost, Jesus came to baptize us in the Holy Ghost and fire. What is that fire to do? To purge us and to keep us clean. If you give yourself to the Holy Ghost, then there's going to be a constant cleansing and you won't be a defilement. But if you give yourself to lust, okay, you defile that spirit. You give yourself to a wrong spirit, you put that into you, it's going to get into your spirit, and it's going to defile the spirit. Second thing, words. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Words are spirit. Spirits baptize you. Spirits are words. They get into you. If you give yourself to the Word of God, Ephesians 5 says, washing ourselves by the water of the Word. You wash yourself by the Word of God, you stay clean. How about some other words? How about false teachings? Will false teachings defile us? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 talks about that in the last times and the last days there will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are taught by men who has their conscience seared, their spirits seared as with a hot iron. False teachings will defile you. That's why you need to know the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says. Words get into us and they defile us. How about all the parents will get into this. How about rock music? Will rock music defile our children? All the parents said, amen. And it will, because there's words there. And words are spirit. And all the children are going to like this one, because country music, folks, is probably worse. And all the young people said, amen. Talks about running around on your husband, on your wife. Those words get into your spirit. You know what's happening to it? Defiling it. Well, hello. You know I'm right. Words defile you. Words defile you. Third thing, worship. Worship. I got this one as we were praising the Lord. We were singing that song, Draw Me to Yourself. The thing that the Lord showed me here is that worship cleanses us. It says the Father in John 4:24 says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him, those that worship Him in spirit. Worship is spiritual. Worship is spirit. Worship Him in spirit and truth. You want to clean yourself up in your spirit? Then worship God. You're worshiping something else, you're being defiled. Worshiping a person, worshiping money, worshiping a job, you're going to be defiled. What I'm wanting us to see is that there is only one thing that will clean your spirit. Only one thing. We read it this morning for communion. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It will heal your spirit. That's what I'm telling us today, is that whether it's your spirit or whether it's your soul or whether it's your body, the blood of Jesus Christ can heal you, repair you completely over what's the word I want? I've lost it. He'll fix you. Overhaul you. Whatever that it is, He can do it. Now, how many see, before we turn, that your spirit can be defiled? By the Bible that's in your lap. I want to see a few hands, just a few. Okay. Okay. And what you need to know is that we read it in Hebrews chapter 10, that the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. Well, no, sorry, 2 John verse 2. I think it's 3 John. I'll know in a second. I'll know in a minute. Because I'm closing now. It is 3 John, verse 2. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you, whether it's your spirit, whether it's your soul, or whether it's your body. Hebrews 10:19-22 says, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from sin and from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And 1 John 1:7-9 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, folks, will heal you in your spirit. Do you see that? And there should not be a day that goes by that you don't pray and confess and plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life and say, Father, just cleanse me by Your blood. Cleanse my spirit, man, by Your blood. I confess that I have these things, that I want You to cleanse me. Remember that sin's really not the issue. Your healing is the issue. Your healing is the issue. The blood of Jesus Christ can clean and cleanse us from all sin. All right. Now I want to close with just this thought in 3 John. I want you to also see that, Monty, will you cut that air off? I think people are shivering. In 3 John chapter, well, it's only one chapter, but in verse 2, I want to read it. Beloved, I pray. Now, King James Bible says wish. I want to tell you that John is doing more here than wishing. He's praying. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, King James Bible says above all things, but it's in all respects and everything, that you may prosper. How many of you really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ really does want you to prosper in all respects? In everything that you do, He really does want you to prosper. Do you believe that? He really does. He really, really does. He wants you to prosper in everything. And this is what John is praying, and he's also the guy that said that if we pray in His will, then we have confidence that He hears us and then gives us the desire by which we ask. So this is the same person that said this. So now he's praying, and he's praying that he says, in all respects, I want you to prosper and be in good health. Now, how many want your body to be in good health? Don't you really? Sure you do. He says, I'm praying that you prosper and that you be in good health. Now, notice now how prosperity and good health is connected to your soul. I want you to prosper and be in good health, even as, read it, even as your soul prospers. When you're thinking right, you're going to be healthy. When you're thinking right, you're going to prosper. I want to say something. If there's an area of your life that's not doing well, maybe your finances, your marriage, if there's an area of your life that's not doing well, maybe your children, I want you to investigate the way you think about that area. If you need healing in your body, think about that. How do you think about healing in your body? Are there some things that I need to think differently about? My finances, am I prospering in my thinking, in my soul for my finances, my marriage? Am I prospering in my thinking for my marriage? Am I thinking like God says to think? If I do, then I should be healed in this area. I've seen this so many times, that when people do not seek first the kingdom of God, they just don't prosper. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now let's talk about that just a second. His righteousness. What does that mean? It means just doing things right, doing things the way He says to do them. That's the only way they're really right, doing things righteously, doing them right. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things, all this prosperity that you need, will be added to you. I just want to say this to you. God wants to heal you completely, entirely. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. He has made the provisions, the outworking of His crucifixion, the outworking of His resurrection, was so that you can be healed. He paid the whole price for your sin. Sin has been dealt with. Sin is no longer the issue. He paid the whole price for your peace. Peace is not the issue. All you have to do is walk in it. Sin no longer has dominion over you, not if you're a believer. All you have to do is walk in righteousness. The outworkings of the cross of Christ is your healing in your spirit, in your soul, or in your body. I just want you to see by that Bible that's in your lap that your prosperity and your health is directly related to how you think, your soul, your attitudes, your emotions, your intellect, how you think about things. We've seen people have a curse of heredity on their lives. They were raised poor. They were raised ignorant. Because they will not change, because they will not give themselves to the Spirit of the Lord God and begin to think like He wants them to think, they continue on with a hereditary curse. They're poor. They're ignorant. They raise children that are poor and ignorant because they just won't change how they think. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died so that you don't have to be poor. You don't have to be ignorant. You don't have to be sick in your spirit. You don't have to be sick in your soul. And you don't have to be sick in your body. Now, either that's true or the Bible's lied to us. And I'd rather believe God and let every man be a liar. I want to pray for you. You need healing today in some area. Your body. Some people have already come to me today and said, I want you to pray for this one. I want you to pray for that one. I want you to come down for those people that you want to stand in for. And I want to pray for them. And I want you to agree, after I preach this, agree that the blood of Jesus Christ will heal them. You may need healing in your body. your personal body. If so, you come down. Let us pray for you. You may need healing in your finances, in the way you think about finances. You may need healing in your marriage, the way you think about your marriage. You may need healing in some relationship or something. There's some place that you need healing in. The promise of God is if we pray according to His will, He hears us and He gives us the petitions that we desire of Him. Is that the Bible? And folks, if you don't understand that now, I don't know if we'll ever will. He wants to heal us. He wants us to think right and prosper. Let's pray. Father, I pray today I have shared your word, that I have been correct in my instruction.